Last night we spoke about standing up for a kvater and standing up for a chassan, standing up for the chevra kadisha. The makar of all those places where we stand up, we discussed last night, was from a Mishnah Bikurim, where the Mishnah says that when the farmers all the way out from the different places in Eretz Yisrael, from the outskirts, used to come in to travel to Yerushalayim, so then all the storekeepers, all the shop owners would come out and greet them, and they would stand up and give them a bracha. So from there, the Bartanura learned that you see that by any osa mitzvah, by anyone who's doing a mitzvah, we stand up in recognition of their doing a mitzvah. We discussed last night, the Nebi Yehuda discusses, why is it that only by these type of select mitzvahs we stand up? Why isn't it that every time we see someone davening or saying Kriya Shema or putting on tefillin, we should stand up as well? So we said the explanation of the Nebi Yehuda. So there's one line with regard to this Mishnah which I would like to speak about tonight, and that is the following. The Mishnah tells us in Bikurim, like we said, that the shopkeepers used to come out and greet and be mechabed those who were bringing up Bikurim. So says the Mishnah as follows: Ulufi kavod hanechnasim hayu yotzim. According to how great the people that were bringing up the Bikurim were, that's how much we were mechabed them as they walked by. Meaning, the simple understanding of that is, if the person who was coming was someone who was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a tremendous tzaddik, a tremendous prominent person, so then all the storekeepers would come out and they would make a whole big parade for him and they would make a big deal out of it. If the person was Stam, a simple farmer coming out from the Negev or from here or from there, so then we weren't mechabed him as much, not as many people came out to greet him. That's what the simple reading of the Mishnah is. Ask the Yerushalmi in Bikurim. There is no Gemara Bikurim, so there's only Yerushalmi. So if you look on the Yerushalmi in the third parak in Bikurim, the Yerushalmi picks up on this line in the Mishnah and has a very difficult time understanding it. The Yerushalmi says, V'chi yesh gadol v'katan, is a question in the Girsa, but simple Girsa according to some of the Rishonim, the Radbaz and the Rash, and others say this, V'chi yesh gadol v'katan be Yisrael? Do we have such a concept as someone who's more chashev and less chashev in Klal Yisrael? What does that mean? We're all coming to do the same thing. So what exactly is the Yerushalmi's question? What's the Yerushalmi bothered with, and what does the Mishnah mean? So the Radbaz over there on the side of the Gemara explains, on the side of the Yerushalmi, he writes, it wasn't my bikiyas, you just look on the side. That's the pshat, that's the standard pshat in the Yerushalmi. So the Radbaz over there on the side writes, what is the question of the Yerushalmi? That the Yerushalmi's bothered. We're all going to be mekayim the same mitzvah, right? I'm bringing bikurim the same way you're bringing bikurim. I'm a big talmid chacham and you're an amar haaretz, you're the farmer. What's the difference? We're all doing the same thing. So what do you mean? You mean to tell me that the more chashev a person is, the more his bikurim counts? The more special we consider it in our eyes, the more we're going to go out and be mechabedim, the bigger parade he's going to have. Why is that fair? V'chiyesh gadol v'katan b'Yisrael, is there such a concept as someone who is more chashev than someone else when he's doing a mitzvah? We're all doing the same thing. So why is it that the Mishnah says over here that lefi gadol hanechnasim hayu yotzim, according to the greatness of the person who is bringing the bikurim, that's how much we would respond and bring and come out in his honor?
I still understand the question. There is a concept of a gadol
b'Yisrael. So there certainly is a concept of giving kavod to a gadol b'Yisrael. But the Yerushalmi is bothered here. How can you tell me when the gadol is doing a mitzvah of bringing bikurim, and when the farmer is doing a mitzvah of bringing bikurim, what's the difference? The bottom line is they're both doing the same thing.
If both of them were walking down the street not bringing bikurim, everybody would get up for the gadol anyway.
Right, so exactly. But the question of the Yerushalmi here is that they're not just walking down the street. Here they're both being mekayim a mitzvah. So if the whole issue here is that we're trying to be mechabed someone who's doing a mitzvah, so what does it matter who's doing it? The bottom line is that the mitzvah is being done. So I saw the Shem Yishmuel writes, B'Shem his father, the Avnei Nezer, a very interesting line, and I quote, he says, Asiyas ha-mitzvah hi yisod ha-kol. The bottom line is, doing the mitzvah is what's most important. Going ahead and doing the Maisa ha-mitzvah that the Rabbanu Shalom told us to do is what's most important. K'moshi yafshar livnos binyan below yisod, the same way, it's not possible to build a building without first building a proper infrastructure and, you know, digging into the ground and putting everything in place. So too, it's impossible for a person to ever get points in Shammai unless he actually goes ahead and does the mitzvah. What does he mean to say? I'm the greatest tzaddik in the world, and I have the greatest kavanas in the world, and I sit here all day and think about Yichud Hashem and how mayridik the mitzvah of tefillin is, and I'm going to think how I want to give my machshavas to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, I want to give my maisa to him, I give everything over to him, and I just think about it all day, but the bottom line is I didn't put on tefillin. It's like the guy who goes up to the top of the mountain and he wants to see the tremendous ma'anorah, he wants to see everything, so he goes up early in the morning to Nates to see the sunrise, and he's there with his guitar and he's singing away and he's dancing and it's gevaldik, and he sees Only problem is he left his minyan at home and he left his tefillin at home. So bottom line, you get no points in Shemayim for that, right? That we all know. So it says Avnei Nezer b'shem l'shem Yishmuel im lo yikayim ha-mitzvah b'pol en b'yodo klum. The bottom line is if you don't end up doing the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah that the Torah told me to do, you have no points. You did zero. So therefore he says that it relates to this point a little bit. The bottom line is that we're all commanded to do the same ma'aseh ha-mitzvah. So if you have a farmer who's bringing up Bikurim, and you have a Talmud Chacham who's bringing up Bikurim, the bottom line is that they're both doing the same thing. They're both bringing up the same Bikurim. They're both doing the same mitzvah. So therefore, we should be mechabed both of them exactly the same. And the Yerushalmi gives whatever answer it gives, but I just want to focus on this for a minute. It's a very interesting point. Al derech ha-machshava, you know, we're not the greatest tzaddikim in the world. We're not the greatest Talmidei Chachamim. We're not the ones who deserve all the honor. Yet, the Yerushalmi is telling us that we do deserve the same amount of respect when we're being mekayim mitzvah as the greatest Talmud Chacham, the greatest God of Adar. We do find something similar, a little bit different, but similar in the Gemara Kedushin Daf Ayin. The Gemara tells us a parnes, that when you have a Talmud Chacham, kimishen nesmana ala tzibur, once he becomes elevated to some level of authority on the tzibur, he becomes a Rebbe in Yeshiva, he becomes a posek or something, he's elevated to some status of recognition. So this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Chayshim Mishpat Simon Ches as well, that the Gemara says he's not allowed to do malacha b'fnei shlosha. He's not allowed to go and fix his car, he's not allowed to jump the wires of a car in front of other people because they're going to be laughing at him. What's this big Talmud Chacham doing, you know, jumping someone's car? What's he doing over here? What's he, you know, getting underneath his car and starting to, you know, fix whatever's broken under there? It's not right to him, it's not kafi kvodo. So the Gemara tells us in Kedushin Afayin and in Chayshim Mishpat Simon Ches, that he is not allowed to do that. However, the Gemara does say that there is one qualification to that statement. Says the Gemara, Abba Yachal Livnos Maket. Although it's beneath his dignity, when there's a mitzvah that comes his way, he's allowed to go up and build a maket. Aye, it's not kefi chvodo to stand there with a hammer and nails and do all the work himself. Let him hire someone to do it. Let him ask one of his talmidim to do it. Says the Gemara, no, that's not a bizayin at all. He should feel a pride in doing a mitzvah, because the same way he's commanded to do a mitzvah, all of us simple people are also commanded to do mitzvah. So there's nothing wrong, there's no bizayin to his covet for him to go up and do a mitzvah. In fact, the Shari Tshuva writes in Aruch Chaim Tafresh Chav Hei, that based on this also, the Talmud Chacham should go ahead and build his own sukkah. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. Even though he's going to be schwitzing and he's going to be getting all dirty from the walls that haven't been touched in a year, still says the Shari Tshuva, there's nothing wrong, there's nothing for him to be embarrassed of, he shouldn't pass it off to others. Mitzvah yosem yishlucho, and he should realize that that's something he should take pride in. The Kesev HaKadshim, which is on the bottom of the page in Shulchan Aruch HaShem Mishpat, writes that he thinks this should be extended to all mitzvahs in the Torah. It's not just makkah, it's not just sukkah, it's to everything. He shouldn't be embarrassed, like the Mishnah Berurah writes in Hilchos Shabbos. He shouldn't be embarrassed to go and do the shopping for Shabbos. He should be totally proud of the fact that he's a Talmud Chacham and he's going to do a mitzvah. There's nothing wrong with it at all. The raya that some of the Achronim bring is from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu himself, b'chvodo v'atzmo, went to build a Mishkan. He didn't ask for help. He didn't get anyone else to do it, which we'll get back to in a few minutes. But Moshe Rabbeinu went himself and got schwitzed up with building the Mishkan every time he had to do it. And he had no problem. He was proud of it. Some of the Achronim... What? So Hashavas Aveda, that's the question. What's the story with Hashavas Aveda? So the Gemara in Shavuos Daf Lamed talks about Hashavas Aveda as well in Brachos Daf Chav. So that's the problem. What do we do with Hashavas Aveda, where the Gemara says, Beferish Zakon Ve'ino Lefi Chvodo, when you have a Talmud Chacham, and it's not kefi his kavod to walk around, he finds a woman's bathing suit in the street. So you're going to say he has to walk around the street walking with it until he finds the rightful owner. It's not kefi chvodo, it's an embarrassment for him. So why is he pater over there? Why do we assume that he's pater? So Tosis over there writes, there's a difference between Mamona and Isura. Tosis writes in Shavuos Daf Lamed that where it's someone else's money, so why is his money more important than my kavod? But when it's stam, just a mitzvah in the Torah tells me, build a makkah, the Torah tells me I should build a sukkah, so there's no problem with my kavod when I go ahead and build a sukkah or I build a makkah. There is a problem with my kavod if I'm taking your money so seriously to the point that I'm willing to compromise on my own dignity to save you a few dollars from the missing item that you lost. That's the basic answer to that. So we're going to get to that in a minute. We'll get to that in a second. That comes up by Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara in Erev and Daf Samaches, the problem that the Achronim are bothered with is that the Gemara says in Erev and Daf Samaches that there is something called the Shtufa Mivos. We have Erev Echatzeres and Shtufa Mivos. So they're very similar type of dinim, but the Gemara says it happens to be in the Mavoi that Rabba lived in, they didn't have a Shtufa Mivos. Why? Because it would have been an embarrassment for Rabba to walk around and collect the money from everyone to be Mishtativ in the Erev. So the Achronim ask, what do you mean? It's a Dvar Mitzvah, so what's so bad? Let Rabba go around and collect the money. He's doing a mitzvah. He's doing an Erev. So they say, well, it's not such a mitzvah to build an Erev because, you know, there's no mitzvah that you have to carry on Shabbos outside. So his mavi live without an eruv. Okay, that's all nice, but the Chassam Sofer writes in a tshuva that any community where it's possible for you to build an eruv, it's a mitzvah to build an eruv because you're going to save people from doing an aveira on Shabbos. So whatever, it's something to think about, something to chew on. That Gemara and Erevin is something that the Achronim are a little bit troubled with. How do we put that into the right context when it comes to this conversation about being mevazer ourselves from the mitzvahs? There's a Sefer Torah Zev, which is written by a Talmud of the Briska Rav. So he has a very interesting story in there that he writes, and then he's myrich on this whole issue. He has a story in there that once he was at a bris of one of the grandchildren of the Briska Rav, and there was a big gadol b'Yisrael who was there, and the gadol got up to speak, and he starts crying, and he's so enthused by the whole situation, and he's very overwhelmed by it, and he says, what a myridik a simcha here, look at this bris, a grandchild of the Briska Rav, and such chashav a company, and such chashav a olam here, and look at this grandson. Amazing. He was like speaking about it, how he couldn't get over what the sight was. So the Briska Rav right away on the spot got up and he disagreed with him. He said, what do you mean? Bris is something that's a mitzvah that we're chayv to do. It's a mitzvah that you're chayv to do. It's a mitzvah that I'm chayv to do. It's a mitzvah we're all chayv to do. What's the difference if it's a Briska Rav's grandson making a bris or it's someone else making a bris? We're all in the same boat. And he was very upset why this Talmud Chacham got up and made a big deal that his grandson was having a bris. He said, we're all the same. Bris is something, it's a mitzvah chashuva. Bris is something that's nichrusu ala yud gimel brisos, the Torah tells us. It's a mitzvah sheyesh alav kares. So how can you say that my mitzvah, bris milah, is more chashuv than anyone else's? He had a kpeda on the person for getting up and saying such a thing. So he quotes in the Sefer that the Talmidim right away jumped on the Briska Rav and they asked him, what do you mean? How can you say that? Does the Gemara tell us in Menachos Daf Tzadites? The Gemara has a sugi there, mala makodesh v'lo maridin. So we're all familiar with the concept that a person is only allowed to elevate levels of Kedusha, he's not allowed to bring something down any levels of Kedusha. So the Gemara tells us over there, Minalan de Emoridin. Where do we know in the Torah that one is not allowed to bring something down a notch in Kedusha? How do I know that? So the Gemara says from Moshe Rabbeinu, because it says by Moshe Rabbeinu as follows, Vayaka Moshe Samishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu went and built the Mishkan, Vayitin as Adana, Vayasem as Krasha, Vayitin as Richa, Vayakam as Amudav, he did everything on his own. So what do you see from there? Rashi has three pshatim, what's the proof from there? So in Rashi's second pshat, Rashi says over there in the Gemara, that the proof is that Moshe Rabbeinu chose to do it on his own, and none of Aaron HaKohen's children came to help him. They were much younger. They were able to help him. So why did they allow Moshe Rabbeinu, the God of Adar, the greatest person ever to live? How did they allow Moshe Rabbeinu to sit there and be mevaz himself, build a Mishkan on his own? So says the Gemara, you see from there, Malam HaKadosh V'lo Maridin. You see that you're not allowed to bring it down a notch in Kedusha. That's what they prove from there. So the Talmidim asked the Briska Rav, don't you see that it's obviously better to have Moshe Rabbeinu do something, do a Dvar Mitzvah, than for us to do a Dvar Mitzvah? So why are you getting upset that this person is being Meshabeach, the grandchild's bris of the Briska Rav? It is more chashuv. Like you said, it is a lot more chashuv that the grandchild of the Briska Rav is having a bris, is a lot more chashuv than someone else making a simcha, someone else doing a mitzvah. That's what you see from Moshe Rabbeinu. So they say that the Briska Rav answered the kasha as follows, and he said, when you have a mitzvah that Gans Klal Yisrael has a mitzvah to do, for example, Tkiyah Shofar, mitzvahs lulav, you have Achilas Matzah. So he says, the Briska Rav said, that's something that's just as much on you as it is on me. Like the Yushalmi says over here by Bikurim, the same way the simple farmers bring his Bikurim, so too the Talmud Chachams bring his Bikurim, and we're all in the same boat, we all have the same type of schar, we're all going to be doing the same thing, and we all deserve the same kavod. However, said the Briska Rav, when you have something which is a mitzvah, he said, like the Mefarshim right over there, that was a mitzvah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu alone. Klal Yisrael wasn't asked to build a Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu was asked by himself to build a Mishkan. So he can't go ahead and ask someone who's lower than him to do the mitzvah for him. Over there, that would be a harada b'kedusha. That would be malam hakadosh v'lo maridim, because Moshe Rabbeinu, you were asked to do it, and you can't ask, you can't shift that responsibility to someone else. There's an interesting story written in the Shari Tshuva, which is in the Mishnah Berurah. So the Shari Tshuva there writes in Hilchas Lulav that there was a certain city in Europe. Very interesting story. He writes that only had one sukkahs. They only had one lulav before sukkahs. So the biggest gvir in the neighborhood went to the person who owned the lulav, and he said, "Listen, I'll pay you whatever it was at the time. I'll pay you $1 million for the lulav." What would be in our days, and he bought the lulav for himself. So everyone assumed that he was buying the lulav and he was going to give it to the rav. So comes the first day sukkahs, and the guy walks into shul with his own lulav, and he's not giving it to the rav. So the whole shul goes and pounces on him. What do you mean? What kind of business? What kind of mevatzah of the rav are you? He's the marid asura. There's one lulav in the city. You're going to buy it for yourself? Go buy it for the rav. What do you mean? So he says, excuse me, I have tremendous kavod for the rav. I love the Rav very much. The problem is, there's only one lulav in the town, so why is the Rav's mitzvah lulav more chashuv than mine? The same way he's mitzvah in the mitzvah of lulav, so do I have a mitzvah to do netilas lulav. So why should I be mechabed the Rav and buy it for him if I should really be mekayim it for myself? So that was what the Baal Abbas sat back when everyone was yelling at him, and it just so happened to be that the Rabbanim agreed with him. They said, you're right, when you have a mitzvah that only one person is able to do, but it's something that all of us are mechuyev in, so there's no reason that the rabbi's mitzvah is any more chashuv than your mitzvah. Keep it for yourself. So this, the Shari Tshuva quotes in Shulchan Aruch, not making it up, look it up there in Hilchas Lulav. Shari Tshuva quotes the story, and he says that is the halacha l'maisa. However, he qualifies it by saying the following. If this is a mitzvah which all of us are mechuyev to do, for example, mitzvahs mila, mitzvahs lulav, mitzvahs matzah, so we only have enough money to buy one matzah, so who should get it? Whoever buys it. He's able to buy it for himself. There's no Indian to be mechabed the rabbi, because my mitzvah is the same as the rabbi's. However, he says, when we have a mitzvah that only a few people can take part of, for example, you have Kriyas HaTorah every morning, so you're only able to give 3 aliyahs. You're only able to give 7 on Shabbos. So he says, then, we have a mitzvah of Kavod HaMinei Chachamim, when it's a mitzvah that's mutal on the tzibur, and only a few people are going to be able to be involved, so then you have to be mechabed the rav, or by birchas hamazon, only one person is going to be able to be the mezamin. So who should be mechabed? You can't say my mitzvah is more chashuv than the rav's, because that's something that's a communal mitzvah. So if you're going to be mechabed one person, so then you have to go out of your way and be mechabed the rav, because that's the din of kavod tamei chacham. That's the way he distinguishes between some cases which are mitzvahs that are mutal on the tzibur themselves. For example, he gives the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Gimel that the Gemara says by Yosef HaTzadik. That was something that the Kvura of Yosef HaTzadik, Klal Yisrael had to take care of. They promised that they would take Yosef out. And the Gemara says, nonetheless, they were Mechabed Moshe Rabbeinu. Hanichu lo bigdolim, the Gemara says. It was a big covet for Yosef HaTzadik that Klal Yisrael forgave on their schus. And they told Moshe Rabbeinu to do it himself. Why should they give it to Moshe? It's my mitzvah the same as it's Moshe Rabbeinu's mitzvah. No, the answer is, says the Shari Tshuva, because that's the same idea, that over there was a mitzvah that was something that was incumbent upon all of Klal Yisrael, and you have a mitzvah that's incumbent upon all of Klal Yisrael, and only a few people can take part in it, so then you're mechabed the rav, atz kavod tamei chacham. That's why they gave it over to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why he says in certain cases, by Berchus HaMazon or by Kriyas HaTorah, we should be mechabed the rav first, and then take it for ourselves. However, he says by a mitzvah which is something on our own, by lulav, by matzah, by things like that, or by the Brisker Rav's case, by the Mila, there's no special significance to the mitzvah, the ma'isa mitzvah that the rabbi is going to do, as opposed to the ma'isa mitzvah that anyone else is going to do. And everyone should realize that when they're doing a ma'isa mitzvah, they're in the same exact boat as the greatest Gadol B'Yisrael is doing the mitzvah. They have the same, they deserve the same respect, they deserve the same kavod, and we will all get schar if we do the mitzvahs as hard as we, as much as we can possibly do, and as difficult as things might be for us, we sometimes have to realize that if we understand the greatness of our mitzvahs, then we would do them in a little bit of a different light. Have a wonderful evening and a great Shabbos ahead.